Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa, blue, a night deep divers, were you raised with a belief that self-love was a bad thing? You're a narcissist? Well, I'm here to tell you that is completely untrue. So continue to sing in front of the mirror, I'm too sexy for this mirror, too sexy for the cat down the road, too sexy for you, yeah. Peace, infinite waters, diving deep once again. Beautiful deep divers, we are out here in nature, baby. Another great day. I'm sending you tons of good energy. Take that, take that, take that. We're just, woo, breathing in that good ass prana, baby. How to love yourself. Love yourself 100%. Right now, it's the time to love yourself like never before. Someone wrote to me, Ralph, I love your videos. Please talk about how I can love myself without being seen as a selfish person. Please talk about how I can love myself without guilt. Well, that's what we're going to dive into. How to love yourself 100% this year. And we ain't even had breakfast yet. Can I get a hello there? So wonderful deep divers, let me share with you what's helped me along my journey to love myself. I say this, that self-love is the secret to becoming your greatest version. Everything starts with self-love. However, we have been raised to believe that we have to love our neighbor before we love ourselves, when in actuality, we have to love ourselves first. And then we can love other people. Because if you don't love yourself, you won't even be able to love other people authentically. So self-love is the elixir of everlasting life. It makes you look so young and feel so good and do a little samba, baby. So growing up as a teenager, I was struggling to love myself because of beauty ideals. You got to have a six pack. There's a lot of pressure growing up, isn't there, ladies? Got to have a big booty. Isn't there, fellas? Got to have big muscles. I was always fit, but I realized that, gosh, parents want me to be like this. Friends want me to be like that. Who am I? A lot of us are struggling. We are struggling with this right now. We find it hard to love ourselves because we are living according to society's expectations of how we should live. And that has to stop right now. I'm here to tell you it is healthy to love yourself. And there's a difference between self-love and being a narcissistic person. Self-love does not mean you are a narcissistic person. It means you are a healthy person. Self-love is when you love yourself, you're so comfortable in your own skin, however, you are happy for other people's success. However, if you are a narcissistic person, you want the spotlight for yourself and you aren't happy for other people. So self-love, we have to establish this, is crucial. It is essential for becoming your greatest version. So along my journey, I started to realize the best way for me to love myself was to realize charity starts at home. As a Pisces, I love to help other people. And I still love to help other people to this day. But I've learned that I had to fill my own cup first. if you can realize that the best love is self-love, give yourself the love you are so willing to offer to other people. What? Slow motion this side. And that's how to love yourself 100%. Give yourself the love you are so willing to give to other people. Realize you got to make time for yourself. You got to go for a walk with a dog, with a cat down the road. Take time off. Go on holiday. Rejuvenate yourself. Replenish your energy. Get your mind right. That's what self-love is. Forget about trying to save the world. Forget about trying to fix everyone else's problem. That isn't your job. You got to take care of you first, and then you can help other people. The reason why I can inspire millions of people is because I'm practicing self-love. I'm making time for self-care. Right? How to love yourself 100% this year and beyond. If we can realize this, less self-hate, more self-praise. Instead of hating yourself for everything you want, start loving yourself for everything you are. It's what I call, this is what I tell all of my clients, one flaw at a time. Love one flaw at a time. Love what I call your perfect imperfections. We all have things sometimes we don't like about ourselves. Well, it's time to love those flaws and realize that even if you try to hide them, they are still a part of you. When we talk about loving yourself, it's not just loving what's so great about yourself. It's also about loving what needs to be healed within you. What? Slow motion this side. Give yourself credit for coming so far. Against all odds, you made it. How to love yourself 100% this year without guilt, without being seen as without being seen as a so-called selfish person. I'm in Whole Foods. I meet a guy, Ralph, Infinite Waters. And he says this, and I love it. Ralph, if I'm not full of myself, who else am I supposed to be full of, right? It's okay to fill your own cup and be selfish and at the same time still help other people. So we have to get that clear. How to love yourself 100%. Less guilt. Less shame of being who you are. We are all different. Some people are extrovert. Some people are introvert. Some people like to show off their body. Some people don't. That's all healthy. If that's you, well, that's you. Learn to embrace all parts of who you are, your body, your mind, your soul, without apologizing for who you are. Less shame. More self-acceptance. That's how to love yourself 100%. I really began to love myself, deep divers, when I found my one true voice. I'm speaking my heart and mind every single day. I'm allowing myself to be vulnerable because vulnerability is strength too. That's how to love yourself 100%. You didn't come here to be a perfect person. You came here to be real. Real to yourself, authentic to your true emotions. How you're feeling at this point in time. So stop silencing yourself. Stop saying yes to people when you really want to say no. Learn how to find your one true voice. Stop being silent all the time and really realize it's all about self-expression. Self-expression. As your self-expression increases, so will your self-love. If you are suppressing how you feel, you're not loving yourself. So more self-expression equals more self-love. I've spoken about everything under the sun and more's to come. I'm not afraid of anything. I love to do it, and that's why I'm full of confidence and I love myself 100%. 7-day vegan challenge. How to love yourself 100%. Now, this has helped me tremendously. Honor all life forms. When you are eating broccoli, kale, spinach, okay, lentils, you are also saving the life of an animal. Over 150 billion animals are killed every single year. You see, practicing self-love is linked into honoring all life forms. And that's why I've been a vegan for over 14 years. That's why I've been a vegan for over 14 years. Because I couldn't love myself when I'm like, I'm killing another animal. I love the cat down the road. I love the dog down the road. Do you love your dog? Imagine someone eating your dog. That would be terrible. Exactly. Well, a cow is just as important as a dog. It's still a sentient life form. So what really helped me to love myself was to say, actually, believe it or not, animals actually have feelings. And the more I began to honor other life forms, I actually began to have more self-respect, more self-love. And now, before you know it, I'm really loving myself 100%. Because I'm taking care of my body. I'm eating better, more fruit, more veg. And that's how to love yourself 100% without guilt. Surround yourself with people who help you love yourself. With people who accept you for who you are. They don't always want to change you. They're not judging you. They accept you. They take you as you are. These are the kinds of people we have to be around. I've got a lot of deep divers. A lot of deep divers. Always looking out for me. Always looking out for Ralph Smart. They accept me. They accept me. I accept you, deep divers. That's how to practice self-love. That's how to love yourself 100%. Look at your environment. Say to yourself, am I being kind to myself by being in this environment? Is this helping me love myself more, or is it helping me hate myself? We have to be in environments that nourish our body, mind, and soul, and then we will love ourselves. Every single day, what are you doing? Do you love your work, your lifestyle? Because if you don't, you're not practicing self-love. I absolutely love my life right now, so that's a form of self-love. That's a form of self-love because I'm doing what makes me happy every single day. I'm not complaining, oh, I don't like this job. No. Just over broke? No, I don't have a job. I have a lifestyle I love. And that's how to love yourself 100% without guilt. And then deep divers, well, you just say, Phil, so good to be alive, baby. Can I get a hello? Hey. Beautiful deep divers were just... Woo! Breathing in that good ass prana, baby. Shout out to everybody who's breathing in the good ass prana shirts. Good ass prana. Check out the amazing shirts at ralphsmart.com/clothes. Check out the new amazing book on Amazon, Feel Alive by Ralph Smart. Get daily inspiration on Instagram at Infinite Waters. Ask questions there. Deep divers, have a beautiful day. Infinite Waters, diving deep. Once again, stay well, stay healthy, peace. You! I love myself. Say it loud, say it proud. I love myself.
Enhance your mind. Recharge your spirit. Awaken your soul. Enhancing Awareness Radio. Enhancing awareness with clarity.
All right, guys. Greetings, greetings, greetings. Thank you, guys, for tuning in to another broadcast of Motivational Classroom. I'm your host, Haru, the Seven Oracle. And today, guys, is going to be, I wanted to come in early to try to introduce the show. I think I need to do that, you know, before I do these clips and tell you the intention and everything. So anyway, I'm just getting my niche on shifts and things. So thank you, guys. Thank you to all the listeners who always call, listen in, who always give me feedback. We definitely appreciate you. Those that will be listening later, you know, in the future, definitely appreciate you guys. We do this for all of us, you know what I mean? So when it comes to elevation, when it comes to growth, you know, what I noticed is there are things about controlling the narrative, you know what I'm saying, about controlling the narrative. And it's still level. It seems to be still levels out there of imprisonment, of mind control, you know, and it is done with our very own people. And it seems that nobody's saying anything. You know what I mean? So here is Enhancing Awareness Radio, the broadcast of this spiritual community. You know, what we call a spiritual community is not what that is. You know, do you feel like you're in a spiritual community and something is off? Like, for me, it feels like religion all over again. You know what I'm saying? No bad vibes, you know, no negativity, you know, and I'm healing faster than she is, or you're not doing your work, you know, talking down. And I'm like, okay, this is not how it's supposed to go. I'll go, whoa. You know what I mean? Like, this shit is imbalanced. This shit is off. A lot of the drug dealers in the streets are learning the spiritual game now, and they are using this to pimp the people, you know, because at the end of the day, when the lights go out, they really don't give a fuck about y'all. You know, and I found I had a problem with that. You know what I mean? Because are we really in, like, what are we doing out here? You know what I'm saying? So the 501KC or whatever the fuck, you know, the like the churches, you know what I'm saying? Okay, let me get this right. Hold on, let me go to my group and see what the hell I did in the title of this show. The 501C3, there we go. 501C Black Conscious Spiritual Community. I like to call it a cult. You know, so just this show is just about balance and raising awareness, you know, because I know that there are people within the spiritual community that kind of like, this kind of feels like religion. Like, is it, you know, like you come to a point where you're like, wait a minute, what is we doing here? You're not crazy. So I'm going to let Bro Sanchez, I love when I come across brothers, you know what I'm saying, who have balls low enough to speak up about the real shit that's going on. So it's about an hour and 30 minutes. So let's go ahead and listen to Bro Sanchez. He's going to go in depth on what I mean by the 501C3 Black Conscious Community. And he's going to kind of give you, so you may want to get your notepad, because he's going to give you the difference between there is a Black Conscious Community, but there is the 501C3 Black Conscious Community too. There's two different things. So the brother gives a great breakdown, is my intention on this broadcast, in enhancing your awareness. All right, guys, enjoy. And me and Eternal both will be in after the clip.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, excuse the silence. He is there. He's just getting his...
I'm sorry. I'm talking with the mic muted. I'm glad I look at my chat room. Thank y'all, man. Drop a bomb for the chat. Thank you. Thank you. Let's try this introduction again. I'm your host, Bro Sanchez, and we back in the building. Today's title, brothers and sisters, is the quote-unquote conscious community, what it is, what it is not, and why it is alive and well. There's a lot of things I want to touch on in this, but we're not going to deal with what it is and what it is not yet. We're going to wait for that. First thing I want to talk about is why I say the conscious community is alive and well. Now, this video, teaching moment for people who are trying to cancel the quote-unquote conscious community. There are people that's trying to cancel the quote-unquote conscious community for several reasons. Some saying that since there are pedophiles in the conscious community, burn up the community. Others are saying, since they're scammers in the conscious community, burn up the community. And some are saying, since they're pseudoscience and people who don't got their facts right in the conscious community, that's another reason to burn it up too. I want to tell y'all today, none of those are reasons to burn up an entire community. And I'm going to start right off with an analogy to get your mind working in a fair mode and a non-biased mode. You got a lot of pro-black people saying, get rid of the conscious community. Because, yeah, there's a few bad apples in it. Now, check it out. How would it be if I say, let's annihilate and get rid of the entire black community, since there's a lot of gangsters in it? A lot of twerkers in it, a lot of dope dealers in it, and guess what else? A whole lot of pedophiles in it. I want to point out a hypocrisy today that I think is very powerful to point out because it's going to teach us a lot. What I want to point out is that never trust a person that talking about they in uproar about pedophilia and they want to get rid of the conscious community, but they don't want to get rid of the black community, because the pedophiles in the conscious community are a product of the black community. You can't have one without the other. See, the black family and the black community know that we've been keeping silent for pedophiles for years in our households and families. And we didn't speak up about it. The family kept silent about it. And now these same people mad that other people kept silent about others. Everybody wrong. Because you kept silent don't make him right. All of y'all, it make black people fucked up. That's what I want to point out today. I think black people as a whole like to throw a few people under the bus to hide the fact that most of our ass guilty and it's going on in your family. It's easy to come online and talk shit about Rafael Elman, Frank Lucas, and all the dope dealers, but you don't want to tell nobody that your cousin run a whole goddamn block.
Oh, my God.
So that's what I want to point out today. All of these schools of thought, from New Wapian to Maury Science to Zulu Nation, you name it, all were born from black ghettos and black communities. The pedophilia didn't start within the religious group. It started within the black household. I said, let me say that again. The pedophilia didn't start in the Zulu Nation. It didn't start with the New Wapians. The pedophilia didn't even start in the Christian church with the white folks. It started in them white folks' house. And since it was something they was practicing in their house, they made it okay to practice it in their temples. Because they had sicknesses going on in their family secrets in their house, it started to come out in their religious practice. If what you're doing in your house is sick, but what you're doing in your house become the norm in society, then shit, we can just bring it out in the temples now. Isn't that what happened with the LGBTQ community? For a minute, it was in a closet. Now, since it's so normalized, they got their own churches now. We can bring it in the temples now. If the temples are where a society go to learn their behavior patterns, hear me out. If the temples and mosques is where a people go of behavior patterns, then it explains why we see these sick behavior patterns in the temples and mosques, if that's what they want to see in society. And it ain't so much that they want to see it in society as much as they want to normalize it in society, because it's already seeded. It ain't, pedophilia ain't just in the white household. It's in the black one, Asian one, every race. And it's a secret elephant in the room nobody want to talk about, everybody being secret. So how do you bring it out the closet? You normalize it over time. And once you reach a level of normalization, you can now introduce it into the temples. And once it's there, it can now be something embedded into our day-to-day behavior patterns as normal. Because remember, what do we go to the temples for? To adopt behavior patterns. But understanding that these sick behavior patterns don't originate from the temples, they originate from the household, and they are normalized in the temples. This is very important to talk about in the midst of everything going on, which is why I chose to do this, to make it a teaching moment, not just a clout chasing moment. We want to look at the collective paradigm of a people as we deal with these bizarre situations, how they go on so long and thrive. But then there's an uproar when it's brought out of the closet. See, the people ain't really in uproar that these things happen to children. They're in uproar that it's showing the world this came out the closet about our people. That's that family secret mentality of we don't want to expose the perverted uncle. As a collective, we share that mentality. And when this perverted monster is exposed by the white man on TV, we have to act like we're in uproar now. You got to remember, there's a man by the name of African Bambaataa who went protected in the Bronx for over 10 years. a code of silence among a whole community. But once this man Case breaks the light and is out the closet, everybody who protected him will act like they pissed off about it. And what we're really pissed off about is that the cat out the bag. Family will protect a perverted uncle for generations, and they know what he's doing. Then when the uncle get exposed by the entire neighborhood because he did it to the neighbor's daughter, now that family who kept the secret for the uncle want to act like they didn't know and that they mad at the uncle when the uncle was touching their nieces and stuff. And they kept it secret. They was hoping it didn't get out to the neighborhood. But when it get out to the neighborhood, that family has to act like, uncle did that, our uncle? No, let's kill him. We got to crucify uncle now. We tried to protect you on your own. This is the black mentality, because there's no reason why you guys should be still focused on polite and not Bambaataa and not Noble Drew Ali, Elijah Muhammad, the perverted uncle in your family. This video isn't about pedophilia. It's about the conscious community and throwing it under the bus because there's a few bad apples in it. There's a lot of bad apples in the black community, but we wouldn't throw the black community under the bus. Most of the bad apples conscious community come from the black community, period. It's because a lot of gangsters and criminals and fucked up people go to jail and they start getting into red, black, and green, Islam, and thinking they smart, and they learn a lot of deep history and all that. But it's not enough to make them stop touching children. It's not enough to make them stop beat niggas up. It's not enough to make them stop shooting that gun. So what you have is an infiltration of ghetto motherfuckers in a nerd space. And that's the social engineers doing that by design. I'm about to get into the conscious community, what it is and what it ain't. All right, but I got to start here. Before I go any further, let me do something for you to show you what the conscious community is not.
Government sold us out.
It was a group of people who were oppressed no matter your skin tone, knowing that, hey, our oppressors are making all of us identify with them. It was a group of people of all colors becoming conscious to the fact that, hey, the system don't mean us no good. Some people, now what happened with that original conscious community, it was infiltrated by black consciousness leaders, just like the original hippie movement was infiltrated by the black hip-hop movement. And what it did was it brought division and segregation and more chaos during a time where people were starting to come together of all skin tones as long as you were oppressed by the system. And that's what they scared of. So the conscious community was infiltrated and it became the black conscious community. Now, let me show you something. The black conscious community are only conscious to the fact that they are black, y'all. I'm black, y'all. Black power. That's it. And they ain't conscious to the fact that the system don't mean them no good because they trying to assimilate within the system, and they call it black empowerment. Did you hear what I just said? You see the game? Empowerment is you beating the white man in his own system. That'll never happen, dude. Any kind of empowerment is based upon people building systems of their own. You can never win. Think about it. You're going to beat the white man in his system. So you're going to get within his economy, his capitalist system, and do so good in it that you do better than him. But don't you know any good you do in his system would only benefit his system? Listen, I don't care how many points a nigga score in the NBA more than the white players. If the white man own the NBA, all of his points benefit the fucking white man. The black consciousness movement, the pro-black movement, that's the fake shit. Because that's a movement that's saying black power is when we able to compete with the white man and beat him at his game in his system, and that's a fallacy. It'll never happen. That's like saying if an all-black NBA team blow out an all-white NBA team, the black man running the NBA, and that's how niggas think, can run up the scoreboard on that white team, and the white man still own the NBA, and he's still going to benefit the most off that game that the black team blew out the white boys in. What I've been researching about black power, it ain't about owning your own team. It's about, let's get more black quarterbacks in the league. It's about, man, why they won't let Kaepernick come back. It's about bitching to the oppressor about you not treat me right in a system you designed not to treat me right in. So black empowerment is about lifting your voice and telling the enemy, you not treat me right, as if he don't know that. Consciousness don't have a color. Consciousness gives you the power to control all colors. Black consciousness gives you pride but not progress. Black consciousness make you feel good about what? What does it make you feel good about? Despite the fact that you don't own nothing. See, black power comes from the fact that you a black man. You a black woman. Not from the fact that you're a liberated man or a liberated woman. You can't have them both. You can't have them both. You're disrespecting power. You know why? You have no respect for the concept of power the moment you place an adjective in front of it. Yeah. Tell what level of power you got by the word you put in front of power. Because I know if you say black power, you ain't got no power. I know if you say white power, you live in a trailer park somewhere with a tank top with stains on it, and your name probably Bubba or Buford. But I know when you say world power, you really one of them people. You really one of them people. I'm going to say that again because I don't think y'all learning. You need to listen. When I hear black power, I hear ignorance, poverty, pride. Same with white power. I know by the adjective that you're putting in front of power how much of it you got. So when you put a color in front of power, I know you ain't got none. But when you put geographics in front of the word power, I know you got plenty. For example, a person that says black power is a joke. A person that says white power is a joke. A person that says world power are probably working for the New World Order, and they are probably really a person that owns slaves, land, corporations. No one's scared of anybody that's talking about black power or white power. Everyone is scared of the people that's saying world power, world domination, New World Order, world power. No one's scared of black power and white power. Everyone's scared of the powers that be. See the difference? They scared of the power that has no adjective in front of it. And everybody that put these little corny adjectives in front of such a word, we can tell what level of power they own. And we see that the people with the most power don't color it. And the people with the least power, they love to specify what color their power is. Yet they have none, which is why they got to give what they do have an attribute, which is pure skin tone. If your powers come from your skin and not your mind,
oh, my God,
we're in trouble.
Uh-oh.
Your enemy is outthinking you, and you're trying to outskin. I'm going to say that again for the children. Your enemy is outthinking you, and you're trying to outskin him. which is why when somebody brings up how the white man's intricate system of oppression works against us, what do the pro-blacks say? Well, the sun attacking him, and we got melanin in our skin. He's outthinking you, and you convincing yourself, well, I'm outskinning him. Every time somebody brings up how the white man dominating you by outsmarting you, your only response is, well, I can go out in the sun, and I'm the original black man in you, and you're trying to outskin him. I want to know if I'm wrong yet. We 30 minutes in. Drop me some fireballs, some bombs, or something. Come on, let me know that y'all rocking with me. It seemed like I'm lying or something. It seemed like I'm not telling the truth. Let me know y'all rocking with what I'm saying. Or you not rocking with it. Give me some feedback. Talk to me. Talk to me. We're coming with the truth today, baby. Here we go.
Greetings, ladies and gentlemen of this beloved community. We would like to take this time to say thank you for your continued support. We humbly appreciate all donations in the form of Cash App, PayPal, Super Chat, Patreon, and or via channel membership. All of your contributions are greatly appreciated. Again, thank you for all that you do to show your support.
People, think about this. Within this black conscious community, if you say bought a new lawnmower, they'll say the black man created the lawnmower. If you say I just got a new computer, they'll say the black man invented the computer. If you say I just got new shoes, the black man created shoes. Anything you bring up, they try to specify to you that the black man did it. But y'all don't see the problem in that? It go back to what I said. The black man think his power come from his skin on a subconscious level. It's that the black man created it and not the smart man created it.
True.
If the black man was by default known as a smart man, he wouldn't have to specify that smart technology first started with a black man. I'm going to replace the word black man with dumb man, and you will see what he's saying. The dumb man created the computer. You know why he's saying that? Not that I think black men are dumb. I'm a black man. The world has told us that we're the dumbest. So the black man's response is the black man created this computer. And because the world said a black man is synonymous with dumb, the white man synonymous with smart. So the black man is telling you, no, the dumb man created that smart shit, is what he's trying to say. Now, the reason I'm bringing that up is you're equating smartness to skin tone today, and that's a part of eugenics. I'm here to teach today. Eugenics created the IQ system based on Darwinism. To say that the darkest skin tones are the lowest IQs and the brightest skin tones are the brightest. Remember, bright actually means smart. Light is actually equated with intelligence above the head of light, but they're actually creating a color code, a racist system of eugenics that you play into when you say my smarts is because of my blackness. Now, you may get pride from saying that, the way society and the world is built, they have it in society that, according to Darwinism and all that, the primitive people are the lowest IQ. Primitive means first. Prime means first. They're telling you, yeah, you were first, but you were stupid, because everything that was first was on some Flintstone stupid shit. And the smartest humans didn't come to the new white people came. And you agree with that. If you disagree that you dumb today, but yet you only point to the past at your smarts. Y'all didn't even get what I just did. According to eugenics and Darwinism, they said black people used to be the first humans, and they were smart when they were the first humans on Earth, because there wasn't no other IQ levels to compete with. So even though we was on an ape-like primitive level, and they tell us we was the first people, blacks were first. But the joke is that they say the first people were the least intelligent. Modern humans are more advanced. Primitive or prime or first humans, aboriginals, indigenous people, used to be the most advanced. But when they were advanced, the kind of technology they had was primitive, meaning it wasn't complex, and they were only the most advanced because there wasn't nobody else to compete with yet. But when the other races showed up who was most smarter, now they're the least technological, least smart, because now the competition has increased now. That's what eugenics is all about in a nutshell. For one, if you can hear me real quick before I go on, drop a one if you can hear me. We're going to learn today. We're going to learn today. Drop the ones. I'm going to teach you some deep stuff. This ties into the conscious community and the black conscious community and why they different. Let me get them ones if we're good to go. All right, so black people are believing and teaching what the eugenicists are teaching, and it's to our own detriment, which is why we at the bottom of everything. They're no longer teaching that we're three-fourths of a human. We are. They got us to teach it now so it won't look racist. When you agree that you were the first humans on Earth, they agree too. But they say the first human were dumb, and that the modern human is the smartest. You agree with that when you show up to debate them, and you only point to back in history to show your smartness. Remember, according to Darwin, black people used to be the smartest. They are no longer the smartest now based on evolution. In other words, evolution worked against the primitive, primal first humans. Evolution gave them the shit end of the stick. When the racist eugenics say black people used to be smart back in the day, and the black man show up debating him, only pointing out his smartness by going to Egypt, Africa, and back in history, you are proving them right.
Hello?
And y'all don't see the big game. See, they made us go back in time, and it dumbed us down. When you only focus on studying how your ancestors was great, you won't focus on the things they did to make them great.
Yeah.
all of your teaching to be like when we used to be kings. Technological advancements that we had to beat our enemy. So we're not in science and things of that nature. We're interested in black power, just the pride aspect. Fuck what it would need to get to the progress aspect. So generation after generation, we perpetuate pride, not progress.
Pride. Say it. Say it.
And it's because we value blackness over intelligence. And it's because with the concept of black power, about what Garvey was about. Building schools, building black. Now, Garvey talked, now listen, I will say this. Because of Garvey, a lot of black women became nurses, but they assimilated working for white hospitals, St. Jude, St. Rose, because Garvey was a Catholic. Garvey's black cross system was a nation of black nurses that were working with the Red Cross for free. So God be pimping out black women free of charge. That's how I look at it.
Well,
if we got a movement of black nurses, we don't need nobody else. Why build a whole movement of black nurses just to integrate and assimilate with the Red Cross? So now it's the Black and Red Cross, which is some satanic shit. Do something real quick. Hold up a second. So I want y'all to think about what I'm saying. Not just with Garvey. With all of these black conscious movements, they ain't as black as y'all think. The RBG movement is now the BLM movement. What's the flag that Black Lives Matter carry? George Soros run that. And George Soros is a Jew that got money in the hip-hop industry. All of your RBG pro-blacks want a shot at stardom. Remember, that's where it started at. Remember, it was the hip-hop movement that turned it into a divisive thing, and now white boys can't be part of the revolution because the revolution is a cultural music form that's only exclusive to blacks. Fight the powers that be. It's now just the black man fighting them. When in the hippie movement, they had music too. It was soft rock music going against the system. What's his name for the Beatles and stuff? I forgot his name. A lot of them rock groups were a mixture of black and white boys together. And their music was against the government. It was make love and not war. Hippie music. What happened is you stopped the whole movement of people of all colors who just rising up against the government and turned it into a few black sellouts, pro-blacks, saying fuck the white man while working with him. Got a record deal with him. Fighting the powers that be, you ain't fighting no powers. The powers cutting you a check.
Miss it. Hello.
Y'all got to understand how the only reason they gave us hip-hop was to silence the hippie movement, which was a grassroots movement, and they had their own music industry. It was easy to print up vinyl records. You can do it in your basement. They went to CDs and everything to stop. The hippie basically had infiltrated the music industry with revolutionary music, and it was controlled by one race. All races was in on it, if oppressed people. And the hippie movement had their own clothing style, their own slang language, and own music. And so they had to social engineer hip-hop and give you your own dress code, slang language, and a different music that would exclude all races and just have a few poor black niggas we can control.
Control.
Because with the hippie movement, it was out of control. It was grassroots. So with the hip-hop movement, it took all the momentum off what the hippies was doing. And they basically infiltrated, which is why if you look at them first hip-hop artists, they were dressed like hippies. Let me show you something. Hey, guys, do me a favor. What was the name of that first hip-hop video? The hip-hop, the hippie to the hippie, hip-hop, you know? What was the name of the group and song that is? I feel embarrassed asking y'all this, but I'm having a brain fart. What was the name of it? I'm going to show you something right quick. System of a Down? You sure that's it? What was the name of that group, guys? Come on, give it to me.
Man.
Yeah, John Lennon. That was one of them who I was talking about, Kelly. Come on, guys. Hip-hop, the hip-hop to the hip-hop. You don't stop. Rapper's Delight. That's it. Sugar Hill Gang. Watch this. Let me show y'all what infiltration is. Hold on. See? Because you got to go back to that original video. Let me see if this is. Yeah, hold on. This will give you an idea of what I'm talking about. No, this ain't the original video. This is Soul Train. I can't find the original video. Well, I tell you what, I ain't going to waste y'all time. Do me a favor. Go back to those early hip-hop videos. Look at how Negroes was dressing like Rick James. And all crazy with feathers and crazy clothes. Like, let me see if I can pull up a picture. They were dressing like hippies, y'all, because the hippies was gaining momentum. So the first hip-hop artist came out dressing like on some hippie shit before it even came into the Run DMC style. Before the Run DMC style, it was like some, let me show you. It was some shit like that. Now watch this. I'm going to show you something. Watch this. Hold on. Take a look at, that's the Sugar Hill Gang. Now watch this shit. Look at the way they dress it. Now, look at here. See, y'all don't know about social engineering. Why you think it was called a hippie movement and why you think it was called a hippie hop movement? At first, they were saying hippity hop, hippie hop. And then they shortened it, and it became hip hop. And KRS-One tried to make it like it was an anagram, higher infinite power healing our people. But that's not how it got to be hip-hop. That's not it. That's not it. It became hip-hop because at first it was hippie-hop. And you know why they called it hippie-hop at first? Because at first you couldn't distinguish the difference between a hippie and a hippie hop rapper. Look at the way they was all dressing. Come on, y'all. You ain't going to get this truth nowhere else. Hit the like and share button. I'm telling you now. If you look at the way the hippies dress and the way the hippie hop artists dress, it was exactly the same weird shit. They was infiltrating. The hippies would have these giant meetings, right, gatherings, and they would have their guitars and shit. And they would play the guitar, and another hippie would speak spoken word over it. Listen up, folks. Hip-hop and rap started with the hippies. New York niggas gonna be mad at me. I know y'all are. But you gotta understand that hip-hop was seeded into the urban New York environments and ghettos by social engineers and Freemasons, which is why all the early hip-hop headquarters was in Freemason buildings.
Uh-oh.
Yo, MTV Raps, what did all of the first hip-hop artists wear? Black top hats like witches, Run DMC them. I keep telling y'all that a verse is 16 lines, which is 4x4 that's standing on the square. This is Freemasonic. So when New Yorkers be like, hip-hop come from the Bronx or hip-hop come from New York from the ghettos, it's because it's Masonic temples in the ghettos. These project babies got uncles who Freemasons, cousins who Freemasons, who taught them back in the day, yo, check this out. This is some called rapping. It didn't just start grassroots. It was social engineered by the Freemasons into the black ghettos. And it was always controlled by Jews and witches and sorcerers. Now, all of this is part of the black consciousness movement, the neo-pagan movement. It's black consciousness. Hippie movement represent pure consciousness. Hippie movement is the pure consciousness movement of people taking mushrooms, trying to unlock their third eye, going against the system, revolting against government, living off-grid, getting your own fashion lines, your own slang words so we can speak in code, your own trends so we can get out of their trends. People, everything about the hippie movement was a war on the government. It was dangerous. It was a bunch of people saying, we don't care what the popular shit is. We're making a new trend, and we're making our own new system, a new world. And it's going to be popular than yours. All of your children going to come to ours, and we finna reverse this thing. It was about, we got our own music and all that. See, what the hippies were the first ones to come together and do all this. And the government saw that. And they said, you know what? They waking up. And so we had a war. And we had the infiltration of this movement with the hippie-hop movement, hippity-hop movement. Ever since then, the revolution been controlled. Now when you talk about the revolution today, guess what it is? A bunch of black guys. White people can't talk about the revolution. They think about a white revolutionary speaking like Run DMC. Fight the powers that be. It won't look right today. But yet that's what was going on during the hippie movement. Black and white people, even Asian people, look at here. All colors. Fuck the government. Let's make our own world of oppressed people. Our own music, own slang, own trends, own fashion, own food, own land. The movement, they made mushrooms and weed banned drugs. that they're just now legalizing them both today slowly. And the first and the hip hop movement was birthed out of Masonic temples, not off the streets in the ghettos of the Bronx and all that. Y'all know it's Masonic temples in the ghettos, and they adapt to set the trends in the ghetto. They the ones that they're the extension of the cabal that's seeding the corruption out there along with the churches. You got the big churches and big Masonic temples all in the poor communities, keeping them poor, divided in a slum state, killing each other, while the only people thriving is these big temples and big Masonic buildings and churches looking good. All of the slums around them that they're exploring look like shit, and it's by design.
By design.
Y'all hear that?
Now, what TV building, a Masonic building, that M means Mason, Mason TV, Masonic TV. Everything on there is a ritual. Now, check this out. All of this is part of black consciousness because hip-hop studies is part of Pan-Africanism and black consciousness. That's why they signed those first black artists to promote out of Africa, Pan-Africanism, and eugenics, Darwinism, and evolution, and all that. This is a religion that puts our people at the bottom by telling them they were first. But the word first means primitive to them. It's a cold language. Because we see the word primitive as dumb, but it only just means first. So the hip-hop artists came to reinforce this eugenics religion in the form of black power, black pride. But now this thing would start to be controlled now, COINTELPRO version. So, and it all coming from New York. This whole building shaped like a triangle, which is the all-seeing eye. Now, the thing about it is this. Thing that hip-hop represented is what the hippies were trying to do. And the hippie movement died because with the resurrection of hip-hop became the CD disc. The CD disc was a war on independent vinyl record labels. One of the reasons Motown went out of business too. See, y'all don't understand, right? The CDs lowered the quality of the music and made the Jews, white people, get a monopoly on the whole music industry. Now it's digital now. See, like I said, with the vinyl records, man, your uncle can press that up. Everybody and their mama had a record label. Man, listen, if you were a black family and you can sing a little bit, y'all had a family record label. And Uncle Pete pressed up the records. Listen, you got to hear what I'm telling you. The vinyl records left the music industry open to anybody. It was fair competition between regular people and big labels. And we didn't have to beg them for distribution. You had to do more work. You had independent companies everywhere pressing up their own vinyl and doing their own footwork and tour work. And, yeah, they weren't selling as many as the big labels, but the independent artists had more money than the major artists. That was happening back in the day before it happened today. A little family vinyl company pressing up their own vinyls and selling them with no, they don't need no distribution or nothing. They can be famous in just five states, and they will have triple the amount of money of what a famous artist would have with some Jewish label getting robbed. He only getting 2 cents per album sold. So it was more of an incentive to be independent, which is why during the vinyl age, you have way more independent labels and distribution companies than major ones. Way more. Landslide. Companies you don't even, never heard of their name, hundreds of them. I was a vinyl collector. And it just was, it was too much competition for the majors. And it was more of an incentive for a young talent and artist to just be independent and say, fuck the fame. I got all this money, though. So they did away with that with the CD disc. Everybody can't manufacture a CD. It's a patented technology. Y'all don't hear me. They use patent technology to get a monopoly on a whole industry.
Uh-oh.
Ain't nobody else going to teach all this. Come on, get my numbers up, man. Like and share. Hit the cash up. Don't you know pressing up a vinyl is not a patented technology? Anybody can do it and you can't sue me. But when the CD disc came, that's patented. In order for you to be on CD, you got to now go through. Don't you think it's crazy that most of the major labels are your CD disc manufacturers like Sony? Y'all don't see the monopoly. And it's crazy, like, how the whole pro-black movement never told you, let's patent our own distribution technology. They got the CD. We could come out with another device and monopolize that before they do it. We would have been the first ones with the MP3 shit. Why are they coming out with CD? Power was given to us on white technology, and it was given to us to be proud of our black skin, but not our smart minds.
Uh-oh.
The white man don't give a damn about skin tone. He care about mind power.
Hello.
If you smart, you can work for him. You can be jet black. You can be black as my phone. You a smart motherfucker. The white man will give you a good job.
Hey, plan on y'all. Plan on.
He ain't going to let you run his damn movement, and rightfully so. But he ain't with this separatism shit. If you're a smart Asian dude and you want to use your smarts with a European, the doors are open, baby. Come on. Because you know why? The European don't see skin tone. The European sees smartness. And he know that the smart black man is a threat, which is why the smart black man must be controlled, which is why the smart black man is given the best jobs. Think about it. All of our brightest minds are sellouts in these big positions making buku money. They use their smarts for the enemy. Then when it comes to liberating their people is when they want to play dumb, though. Some ain't right about that. These guys were smart enough, right? Public enemy, all of them. They were smart enough to tell us to fight the powers that be. But they weren't smart enough to tell us the way to do that was by making our own technology and making our own systems and quit trying to think we can get more powerful than the white man in his system, when his very power comes from the system he designed. If the white man built the hamster wheel and you can outrun him on that hamster wheel, who does it benefit? The white man invented the hamster wheel. And your form of empowerment is to say to the white man on this hamster wheel, because you compete with the poor white man, and you're a poor black man, which is why I say black power and white power just mean poor power, divided power. You got a white dude in a trailer, a black dude in a project, competing with each other, complaining that the white man in the trailer got more than me. They both on a hamster wheel trying to outrun each other, and they bitching to the person who created the hamster wheel that you cheating. You got bricks on my hamster wheel making it hard for me to run, and you ain't got no bricks on his hamster wheel. That's black power versus white power. It's telling the system, the wheel, man, allow me to run on this hamster wheel fast. When the fact that you're on the hamster wheel is unfair. So black power became black men and women, we got to run faster on this hamster wheel versus black men and women, we need to get off this hamster wheel and make our own wheel. Because as long as we on his wheel, we doing his wheel and not our wheel, and let our wheel be done. You can't do your thing on his wheel. You can only run at your own pace or walk. But as long as you're on his wheel, your energy will never translate to forward progress because you're on a hamster wheel. That's why we say we work 10 times harder and get nowhere. Because you can run fast as you want on your enemy's hamster wheel, and you ain't going to go nowhere till you get off of the wheel and run. Then you'll go forward. Form of liberation thinking you need to run faster on a hamster wheel, and then you'll move forward. When it's the hamster wheel, that's the problem. Why you ain't moving forward. You ain't getting no traction. The ground ain't beneath your feet. You ain't grounded. You're in your enemy's 360 of paradigm and mode of operation. You're in a responsive paradigm, a reactionary paradigm of protesting black power, and it ain't getting you nowhere. It's just spinning the wheel of ignorance. It'll never get us off the wheel. And as the wheels spin, think of a CD disc. Fight the powers that be. All this revolutionary music. The record just spinning. None of that energy is really moving our communities forward. Because it only exists on CD, on a hamster wheel. It's in rotation and never going forward. To move forward takes an act of conquest. But somebody told the black man for him to move forward, he need to get a notebook and a pencil and write a song about moving forward. When the white man marched into your villages and took them over, he had music and action to go along with it. When the saints come marching in was a song, but it also was an action, because the saints did march in to your villages and crusaded them. They was about what they rapped about or sung about. when the Saints marched in, they marched in. All right? None of these guys actually did the stuff that they rapped about. They said fight the powers that be, but they never really fought the powers. The white man had music about fighting his ox when the Saints come marching in, but they actually march into your shit with that smoke. So I got to do this to show you the difference between consciousness and black consciousness. Black consciousness is COINTELPRO. Black consciousness is George Soros, Marcus Garvey, RBG. Consciousness is Pan-Africanism, Morris Science, all of these schools of thoughts that come from neo-paganism up north in the tri-state area where Prince Hall Freemasonry started at, all the Circle 7 groups.
It's almost done, y'all.
See, this the concept of in the South where we said the sellouts come from the North. It was a stigma about Northern Negroes who went up North during the Harlem Renaissance. Every other black called them sellouts. That's because they went up there and started Prince Hall Freemasonry and assimilated with the enemy first. And they still doing it today. So now I got to take a quick commercial break, and I'll be right back, guys, to finish up. Please hit the like and share button, guys. We want to get the numbers up, man. I ain't pleased with the numbers. I'm finna go in deep when I come back.
So these
the black conscious community is what I call the 501(c) conscious community. Garvey came over here trying to get government funding and working with the Red Cross to liberate blacks, which is what his whole mentality of asking the enemy for handouts to help your people come from, which is stupid. Any kind of liberation movement that's helping black children or black people, and it's 501(c) and can get tax write-off and benefits and perks, is nothing that's going to ultimately achieve a goal of liberation. Otherwise, the enemy wouldn't have no parts of it. You can't integrate your liberation movement with the people oppressing you, and I don't care how deep you try to be and explain it, you just can't. 501(c) community consciousness, they stay within the guidelines of science, Darwinism, eugenics, space, heliocentrism, colonialism. Because if they go outside of that, they'll lose faith. 501(c). If a dude who say that they're going against the powers that be, and they're going against the church who indoctrinating the people, how come them and the church both are 501(c)s? Don't you know tax write-offs is what helped cause inflation? Regular people don't get tax write-offs, but some scammer saying they helping the children can partake in the tax write-off scam that the Vatican and everybody else doing to create inflation. So let me get this straight. We can get government grants to buy the children computers, and the children going to use the computers to get good jobs to help the enemy and his system. And the grants is tax write-offs that's going to also create more inflation. Tax write-offs create inflation. It don't matter if it's a big Fortune 500 company or a Liberty Black Power organization. It all add up to inflation because those taxes got to be pushed to somebody else. So when a rich man get a tax write-off, who do you think got to pay that? We do. When the black pro-black scammer get a tax write-off, who do you think got to pay that? We do. So my question is it worth it? Is us getting grants in 501(c)s only to assimilate back into the enemy system and not get off the hamster wheel worth the amount of inflation and poverty that it creates? So let me get this straight. We get grants to get smarter, but the smarter we get, the broker we get. Why don't our smarts translate to wealth like theirs? Because if your smartness will only keep you working harder, it's failing you. The people who think in the hardest don't got to work the hardest. But if you got to think hard and work hard, in other words, black men say we dominate the barbershop industry. There's more black barbers than white barbers. We control that industry. No, we don't. In all of these industries, what we dominate is the labor force. You don't create the technology that foundates these industries. So you got a lot of black barbers. But if the white man stopped making clippers, y'all will be out of work. Because you don't got a lot of black men making their own barber clippers. They own barbershop alcohol and shit. And they own brushes and combs. Everything in there is made in China, while they talk about the Asian people. They got a red, black, and green flag on a wall, but everything in the building got made in China on it. Empowerment is you dominating the labor force that foundates the industry versus you driving the creating the technology that drives that industry. You say stuff like, we got to be more educated and smarter than white kids in the classroom versus we got to design school desks. Versus, where is the black man to reinvent the new kind of pencil and notebook to where we ain't got to ball up paper no more to pollute the environment? You wait till your enemy create the technology that laid a foundation for an industry, then you try to use that technology better than him. The black man can play ball better than the white man, but the black man name ain't Spalding, baby. Let's look up Spalding. Spalding is a white man. Watch this. Albert Spalding. Now, every black man can play basketball better than this dude. But they can't create a better basketball than him. Think about what I'm telling you. We don't think about the technology that laid a foundation for an industry. We let them make the technology then try to use that ball better than the white man. And the white man don't care if you can dribble that ball better than him, long as your name ain't on it.
Hello.
See, you gonna get a black dude to get Spalding on the court and embarrass him. Then Spalding gonna say, now let's look at your bank account and mine. Yeah, you just crossed me over. But guess what you did it with? My ball, nigga. Stay in your place. Yeah, a black man will be dunking all over Spalding with his ball, though. Guess what? Spalding can get mad and say, you know what? You no longer allowed to use my ball. That nigga would have to lead the NBA because it's Spalding's ball. And Spalding said he banned from using my product. So now that nigga can't even play in the NBA because Spalding said, the Spalding family said, he can't use my ball no more. Not because the NBA put him out. Not because the team cut him. Because the Spalding family said, he banned from using our products and the NBA only used Spalding balls. See how power works? So you dunked on Spalding. Now he said, well, you can't use my ball no more, even at your own house. If I catch you in your backyard dribbling, nigga. So I'm making a point. You take pride that you can use Spalding's ball better than him. Spalding take pride that he created the ball. That's my point. Black power don't teach you stuff like this. It's all about getting a 501(c) and assimilating.
I think that's almost,
you don't got to like what I'm saying, but it's the truth. It's the truth. What's the difference between the consciousness community? What is it and what isn't? The consciousness community is about alternative thinking. It's to say, if my enemy is doing this, I'm going to do this to compete with it. If my enemy is creating, I'm going to create the jail pen. Instead of saying, I'm going to use the ink pen better than my enemy. You then make the ink pen. It's about the technology that drives industries, not about the labor force that uses the technology in that industry. A construction worker can use a Bobcat better than the family that owns Bobcat, because he's a worker who's using it every day. The family that owns Bobcat actually have to ask the worker, what do they need to do to make their equipment better? Because the family that owns the company that makes the equipment don't even really know shit about it on the ground level. They ain't the one using it every day. Which is why they constantly asking the worker, tell me about the equipment. Send a ladder in and review the lawnmower. What can we do to make it better? To that is who's smarter? Because the man that can work the Bobcat is smarter than the people that own the company with their own technology. But he ain't smarter than them on how to create the technology that he know how to control and use and operate for his job. He know how to use the Bobcat, tell him to make one. He even know how to make the tech better to make his job easier. Because the people making the Bobcat don't get that perspective. They're the creator perspective, not the user perspective. The users of our enemy's technology. We can't pride ourselves that we use the technology better than our enemy, because our enemy will stay on top as long as he creates the technology. It'll be like a teacher saying she's the best at using a chalkboard, and she's telling it to the people who manufactures the chalkboards. She's going to the chalkboard factory telling the creators, hey, I know how to use this shit better than you. And she may be right, but that never equates to I know how to control it better than you, which is why Jordan can dribble good and he the greatest player of all time, but he will never be the greatest owner of all time. They'll never give you that one. They don't care about you niggas being the greatest players of all time and about ownership. They going to Bill Cosby your motherfucking ass. Bill Cosby good long as he's Mr. Hustable. He talking about ownership. You a rapist now, goddammit. Michael Jackson good long as he performing and he stay in his artist place. You go to talking about owning masters and owning companies, you're a pedophile now. Niggas got to stay in their place. If you want this 501(c), you can't give the kind of knowledge that will create creators. You will give the kind of knowledge that will only create players of your enemy's game. It'll only create faster hamsters on a wheel. You'll never produce wheel makers. And with that being said, I'm going to open up the panel, and I'm...
No, don't you fight us down, yeah. Don't you fight us down, don't you fight us down. Them now want you with it on the throne. On the back of the hill, I'm a rebel with a heart, never part. Babylon the devil on the back of the hill, I'm a rebel with a heart. Observe the laws of my heart. I am a liberal opponent, a practitioner of yoga, position of the corner, tradition of the shona. Chase back my lineage to inner Ethiopia. Long in a Kemet, me build a pyramid of Jota. Hieroglyphic, them I call that Medunetra. When me see the sun arise in the sky, me call it Kepa. I pray to cure the leper, with praises unto Netta. Them come there with them cross, but me say the ank is better, eh. When I want enough, the rest of rise up. Think I take a life up, just sit the rest of life up, eh. None of them no better, make sure exercise them. And be careful of the one we teach you to subscribe stuff. And the battlefield, I'm a rebel with a cause, never pass. Babylon a devil, on the battlefield, I'm a rebel with a cause. Observe the laws with no flaws. Kyle is still a see ya the leader, they on the battlefield, yeah. Humble as a lamb, me just a follow the procedure. Rasta man a healer, beast get trample on the heel, yeah. Me bust up every seal where them steal, yeah. Be the hope to talk to them, reflect upon the past of them. Focus on the acronym, open up my chakra them. Seated in the lotus, me a soak up all the oxygen. Kemetic yoga, me bring over from the continent. Africa, that's where we wanna be. We living in a poverty, cause of the economy. Capitalistic and the materiality. We not see reality, only be realistically. On the battlefield, I'm a rebel with a cause, yeah. Never pass, Babylon a devil. On the battlefield, I'm a rebel with a cause. Observe the love in a plan, yeah. On the battlefield, I'm a rebel with a cause. Never pass, let me on a rebel. On the battlefield, I'm a rebel with a cause. Observe the love in a plan. I am a liberal of bones, a practitioner of yoga. Position of the code, a tradition of the show. Now, family lineage to in Ethiopia. Don't you know, can make me build a pyramid of Joza. Hieroglyphic, I call that mental lecture. When my sleep, the sun arises, the time I call it ever. I beat up through the leper, with praises and tonetta. Them come here with them grass, but my dead, the anki's set up. On the battlefield, I'm a rebel with a cause, yeah. Never pass, Babylon a devil. On the battlefield, I'm a rebel with a cause. Observe the laws of my heart. Haile Selassie a the leader. Dep on the battlefield, yeah. Humble as a lamb, me just a follow the procedure. Rasta man a healer, beast get trampled and a healer, yeah. Me bust up every seal where them steal, yeah. Read a couple chapter then reflect upon the facts of them. Focus on the acronym, open up my chakra them. Seated in the lotus side, you soak up all the oxygen. Kemetic yoga, me bring over from the continent. Africa, that's where we wanna be. We living in a poverty, cause of the economy. Capitalistic and the materiality, we not see reality, only be reality. On the battlefield, I'm a rebel with a cause, never pass. Babylon a devil. On the battlefield, I'm a rebel with a cause. Observe the laws with no flaws, yeah, yeah. On the battlefield, I'm a rebel with a cause, never pass. Send me on a rebel. On the battlefield, I'm a rebel with a cause. Observe the laws with no flaws. Now, don't you fight us down, yeah. Don't you fight us down, them don't want you with this on the throne. Burning fire, you know. Yeah man, show them say yeah, we're up on the battlefield. Only the righteous warrior can see the victory, you know. And it's the last year I lead the way, you know. Express many nights, telling them. Yeah, yeah, I've been lying now.
Your word teach me about life, you know?
Yeah,
your word teach me, you're the teacher.
Yeah,
you come like messenger, God messenger, man.
Yeah.
You are with conscious, you know? Real upliftment. You change lots of life in Gambia, man. Back in Africa, people love your music in Gambia, man.
Africa, yeah, yeah.
All right, guys. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you guys for tuning in to another broadcast of Enhancing Awareness Radio. As you guys know, I'm your host, Haru. And today, you know, to be honest with you guys, I promise you, I do not have much to add. I don't have much to add at all. You heard them. I love when I come across people who are willing to tell. Well, as Deborah Blair says, the truth is what you decide at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? So I don't like to say the truth because we live in a one glove that fits all society, and that is not how it is. So my truth may be different from your truth. You know what I mean? So I don't like to say the truth, but if you are really here on this earth, you know, to really truly evolve, and you are truly compassionate and of the original, you know, DNA, I think that you respect, you know, someone who pretty much is saying things that everybody else may not say, you know. So, yeah, with that being said, let's go ahead and open it up. Eternal, he has been here with us. PTT, talk to you. Brother, how you feeling this rising? And, yeah, your thoughts on everything.
Greetings, greetings, greetings. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Earth. Yeah, it's a lot all at once. I gotta talk to you 1 second. I got a client just came in the door. Is that possible? You hear me?
All right, guys. Yeah, I can hear you. Got a client. I'm gonna have to play a song because I'm actually on the move too. Give me 1 second. I'm gonna play a song, guys. That should give us some time. So give us a second, you guys. But to be honest, I really do not have much to add. But, yeah, let me find a song for you guys real quick, and we will be right back, y'all. I hope y'all enjoyed that. You know what I'm saying? Because that was a lot. But, yeah, we'll be right back.